It's a real privilege to be here. And, you know, it has a special place in my heart at Easingworld because I was made a member here when just the year before you moved from the old chapel. And my eldest little boy was baptised here. And also when I was candidating for ministry, this was when one of my test services was here. So it's all part of a journey, isn't it, that we're on? And we're all on a journey, and we have ups and downs of all sorts going on through our lives, but we know that God's with us. And here we are, his family, his kingdom, his church, together praising him on this wet Sunday morning. So it's a real special privilege to be here with you. We're going to be thinking about Christ the King today, and you'll see as we go along how we're going to treat that. And I hope there's something new, something hopeful, something positive in all that. We're going to begin by singing Light of the World, You Came Down into Darkness, and I've been told to ask you to stand straight away because it's on YouTube today. Leads our prayers. We're thinking about it's the last Sunday before the beginning of Advent, and we're thinking about Christ the King. Christ the King. What do you think of when you think of a king?
A crown?
A throne? A crown? A throne?
A kingdom?
Robes?
Majesty.
Palace, golden coach. We've had the crown, the orb, and the and the scepter. Does that all fit our image of Christ the King? Do you think? He's always in the public eye. Would you like to be king?
No.
Oh, I say no. No, thank you. And also I think that our king is an ambassador. The Queen certainly was, and I'm sure that Charles will be too. An ambassador, a servant, representing our nature, our nation. So we're going to be looking at Christ our King and his kingdom. And don't we say when we're praying, thy kingdom come, Christ the King. So Alwyn's going to lead our prayer. We're going to be singing one of the pictures of Jesus as Christ the King, and Olive brought these things, symbols that remind us of who he is. It's both universal and it's personal, each family, each individual. He's King of the whole universe, he's King of our personal, of our lives. We've got a shepherd, Christ the Shepherd King. We've got a picture of John the Baptist, the prophet who prophesied the coming of Christ and made the way, prepared the way for him. And we've got incense because Zechariah, who was also a prophet and foretold the coming of Christ, and was ready to prepare the way through his son John. Zechariah was a priest in the temple, and he was offering incense in the temple. And then, of course, we've got the cross, which is central to all of it. Isn't that a wonderful picture of Christ, our Shepherd King? And it didn't come up on any of our suggestions of what a king would be like, did it? A shepherd. Completely different picture of what Christ the King is. So we're going to hear our readings now. Firstly from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was speaking in a very dire time in history, in Israel's history. And he's speaking of the Shepherd King. And then in Luke, a new dawn, light from heaven. Another picture of Christ the King.
The Jeremiah reading is from chapter 23, and it's verses 5 and 6. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. And in that day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And the Luke reading is from chapter 1, and it's beginning at verse 68. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Saviour from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long, long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his covenant, the covenant that he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies, so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Amen.
And I don't know what you're going to make of this next bit. Alwyn and David are going to be Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're very old.
Miscast.
Well, I think Alwyn's going to wear a shawl because I think that Elizabeth couldn't get David to put the priest's outfit on for anything. You let me down again, David.
Oh dear.
But he's the priest anyway. Imagine him, you know, with his tassels and everything else on.
This is called a talit in the Bible.
Dear Elizabeth, how could I be so blind, so deaf not to sense God was speaking to me, not believing the angel was real? Me, a priest, spending all my time in the temple, obeying all the rules, burning incense, but no vision. And then when his supposed angel departed, I was shocked to find I had no voice, just 9 months to silently brood.
Don't be too hard on yourself, Zechariah. God had been silent for many years since the great prophets because no one would listen. And let's face it, we are very old. I just thought this baby was a gift of God's favour. Not that he would be special, a prophet, until...
Until what, Elizabeth? I could see how happy you were, but what made you realise he was so special?
It was young Mary's visit. My unborn baby jumped for joy. He knew that God was here, present in Mary's baby. Mary knew and sang for joy too, that great song of praise for a saviour. God is coming to save us. I know it's true. I've never had a feeling like it.
And when our baby was born, I knew he had to be called John, as the angel said. I could only write it down, and then I couldn't contain myself, and you know the rest. I burst into praise and prophecy of a new dawning age of justice and peace.
Yes, that prophecy of Jeremiah was to be fulfilled. A new king of justice, peace and righteousness in David's line. A shepherd king, the Messiah.
I never believed it could happen. We had waited so long in darkness. A light from heaven will break upon us.
And our bundle of joy will be the one to prepare the way. Oh, Zachariah, how will I cope with the sleepless nights and the nappies and the endless ribbing of the neighbours? They'll think we're, well, just a little strange, and they wonder how this little miracle will turn out. Will he be strange too? We'll just have to wait and see.
You know, we've got several new years. It was always just January the 1st, but there's September, the beginning of the school year. That's a new year in the school's calendar. This next Sunday, which is the beginning of the church year. So here we are in the last Sunday of our church year. Looking forward to the beginning of the new year next Sunday. Then, of course, there's January the 1st. And then, of course, there's a tax year. That's April sometimes, isn't it? But forget about that. New year, the Sunday before Advent. Christ the King, completing the whole story we've been through right through the year, completing it. And looking forward. Endings and new beginnings, because as Christians, endings always lead to beginnings, don't they? We're a people of hope, always looking forward. It's not easy sometimes to see that, is it? Because life can be hard. It's a time to think, to put things into perspective. It's like we had and my boiler serviced the other day, and I don't know any of the jargon or anything, but he did say, I've got rid of a bit of gunge, and I've put the pressure right. So perhaps if we can get rid of a bit of the gunge and get the pressure right, get the pressure up again, then that'll be something very important. It's the ending of the whole story of Christ's birth, his life, his death, his resurrection and his ascension, all revealed on this last Sunday. Christ, the King over all, the King of the universe, the whole story before the story starts again. But you know, it's not like a rewind of the film, because that would be exactly the same if you read it again, wouldn't it? But it's always new and it's always fresh. We just don't know what to expect. We don't know what surprises. There's always hope of new beginnings. When I pick up a novel, I start at the beginning and read to the end. I get a bit annoyed if they go back centuries forwards and backwards because I can't keep pace. But I don't know the end until I get to the last page. Unless, of course, I turn over a few pages and have a look. But that's cheating, so we don't do that, do we? Otherwise, you spoil the surprise, don't you? So we hope and we look forward and we don't know the answer till the end. And here we are. We're going to start again and we know the end of the story before we even start it. Does that spoil it, do you think? Does it spoil it for us to know exactly what the end is? Well, of course, we're always walking knowing that in the end, in the final analysis, Christ the King is Lord over all. And for me, it puts it's all in a Christian perspective, personally, for our church and for our world. We look back with gratitude. Sometimes we might just have been clinging on. And we look forward with hope and assurance. And my, don't we need that today, as in every day, as in every age. Every life, every longing, every situation, we're not alone. We can move forward with hope and trust. The prophecies in these two stories were from despair to hope. So Christ the King, we can pick out hints of who he would be from the imagery of our King, and the kings of history. In history, kings, including Israel's history, were good and bad. Why? Because they were human. And some of them held a lot of power, which is hard to handle. So they were human. Israel's kings, they prayed for a king. They wanted a king to be like other nations. And God said, yes, he gave them a king. But the king was meant to be under God's rule of righteousness, peace, and justice. They were meant to represent him. They wanted a king like other nations. And sometimes that's what they got. Both our readings are prophecies of a coming king, both human and divine, who would put wrongs right and change the world. God, through Jeremiah, spoke of a king in the line of David, the shepherd king. That was the human side of him, the one that relates to us personally. That's why Christ, it was so important that his life as a human, he understood everything about us, every bit of our journey, every one of our ups and downs. And before the reading that Alwyn read from Jeremiah, it told us all about the shepherds of Israel that were letting their people down. They were not looking after them, they were not caring for them, they were oppressing them, they were using them. And they left the sheep with no one to look after them. But Jesus, as a human and as a king, relates to us personally, caring, changing lives as a shepherd. A shepherd image is so clear in the gospel. There are a lot of shepherds there, aren't there? From his birth, when outcast shepherds came into the stable, into the light and the love. And of course, there's the good shepherd. The one who cared for the 1 in 100 who was lost. Every sheep mattered. And the one who laid his life down as he laid across the entrance to the sheepfold to keep the sheep safe. Moving on centuries, we go to Zechariah and his prophecy. He spoke of a king too, a light from heaven, the divine, coming down into our world. Again, a king in the line and branch of David. Maybe it's stretching it a little bit, but you know, there were wise men at the stables too, stargazers, who came into the stable, coming into the warmth and love of Christ. They looked out to the world and beyond. They were looking for a universal picture. And of course, the whole universe was his realm, for all people, rich and poor, wise and simple. And as a light from heaven coming down into darkness, he was God, and his reign would be world-changing, both a shepherd king and a light from heaven. It's two sides of the picture of who Christ would be as a king, different from our thoughts of what a king is like. Two sides of a coin, really. His face on one side, his human face on one side. And what's on the other? Well, I looked at a few coins and there's all kinds of things on the other side. But the one thing that's on them all is the value. Two sides of a picture of who he is. Personal to us today as he comes close, that human face of love. He's coming to us, each one of us, in love and care to guide us. At the same time, he comes universal as a light in the darkness to the whole world, to all creation. And we think our world's a dark one now, but both prophecies of Jeremiah and Zechariah were speaking to a world that was just as dark as ours is today. So we have many pictures of who Christ was, many pictures. But as we come to Advent, these two readings give us these two contrasting pictures of who he would be, so that we can be ready to prepare for his coming again this Christmas in a new and special way. always something new, always full of hope. We are a people of hope. Yes, as we say, sometimes just clinging to it desperately, and sometimes rejoicing with joy, overflowing with joy. Jeremiah's prophecy was in a dire situation in history. They needed carers, they needed shepherds. And it matters that we care. It matters that our leaders in the church care. God would bring his people back together as sheep into the fold beyond captivity. None would be lost, none would be missing. That 1 in 100 that mattered more than the other 99. He would save it. And that's his care for us. But do we seek out the 1 in 100 who needs support and love? Or do we ignore sometimes? Christ is the Good Shepherd is an echo of Jeremiah's prophecy and the fulfillment of it. Then we move on to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Again, a prophecy, a burst of praise, and everyone around caught the wonder. Our dialogue, with a little bit with tongue-in-cheek, is so personal. You know, they must have talked together a lot. They must have done. Because they were both faithful. They were both of priestly lines. But until then, they were kind of empty, kind of stuck in a rut. There had been no prophecy for a long time, but now the time was right, and Zechariah couldn't believe it. Sometimes we do find it hard to believe. It was humanly impossible. Yes, he and Elizabeth had obeyed all the commandments. His life was dedicated to serving the temple, but he couldn't believe. We can do everything right, can't we? Do everything seemingly right. But not have the vision, not have the joy and hope of our salvation. Are we stuck in rules? Are we stuck in a rut? I have to admit that sometimes I am. And are you? It's a question worth asking. Or do we need that boiler service, you know, to get rid of a bit of gunge and also to bring the pressure up? But Jesus said things might be humanly impossible, but on the level of faith, God can lift us above our despair to hope. When John was born, he was free and he could speak. And he echoed Elizabeth's words, "His name is John," as the angel had said. Clear and strong, he believed, and he was filled with that spirit of praise and joy and hope. And he prophesied the fulfillment of all that Jeremiah's prophecy had promised, breaking us from the darkness to the light and leading us into the path of peace. Zechariah's lack of faith had become powerful faith, full of hope and light. That's the transforming power of God's Spirit, which is free for us today. And in this intimate story which we heard, we can see ourselves looking forward with hope. Can we see ourselves looking forward with hope and promise as we prepare for his coming in reality again personally, knowing that the story is unfolding again with an eternal promise of life, of Christ who is a shepherd, of light from heaven, of hope to look forward? And what of our world? The final analysis, the final word is, Christ is King.